Hey, Stranger Things fans, there is a new half season coming out on Friday on Netflix. The Ringerverse crew is going to be there to tackle everything, to explain everything that happened. Mallory Rubin, Joanna Robinson, Van Lathan, and Charles Holmes. I don't even know if they're going to be involved. We have so many good people on that feed. Check it out. The Ringerverse podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. Rewatchables was postponed tonight because we're doing a special BS podcast. But we are running it on Tuesday this week. It is the 40th anniversary of a very, very, very famous movie that will hopefully inspire the Boston Celtics for the rest of the series because we need the help. Coming up, here's why we're doing a special one. My dad and I went to game 4 of Heat Celtics. We walked back from the arena and we turned on the mics and we did that. And then as a little bonus, Jalen Green, Houston Rockets rookie. Yeah, he's coming on. We're going to talk basketball for like 40 minutes. So there you go. Little special Monday night podcast. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, it is 11:25 Eastern time, taping with my dad, my 74-year-old dad.
It's way past my bedtime.
These games start after 8:30, and then I was like, Dad, we're going back, and we're going to tape the podcast. And he was like, cool, he's drinking a ginger ale. You took some sort of pill. I don't know what was going on with that. We had to walk uphill back to Beacon Hill. You were a couple times, I don't know, I was worried you weren't going to make it.
Well,
what a podcast for us.
It was a difficult game. I mean, we were up by 30 and I was still worried.
We went to a rock fight. So game 4, Celtics come out. What was it? 21-1 at one point? Something like that?
Something like that. 17-18-1.
Took a screenshot of the scoreboard at one point. Yeah, it was 18-1. That's what it was. The Heat were 1-for-15 to start the game. Our guy, Derek White. The roller coaster ride I compared it to you. He's like a Red Sox reliever during a playoff run that every time he comes in, there's three guys on base. It's 32 pitch inning. Well, somehow he gets out of it.
Yeah. He hit his first 3-point shot and it looked like everything would be rosy the rest of the night.
He hit his first 7 points of the game.
And then he missed 7 straight 3-point shots.
But he got, I think,
but he was wide open. He was wide open.
He was weirdly one of the MVPs of the game.
He was.
By the end of the game, it looked like he was dragging it. It looked like he actually hurt his hamstring at the tail end.
At the 2 minutes to go, they called a timeout because he was holding on to his right hamstring. So not a good sign for Wednesday night.
So going backwards, we're waiting all day to see who's going to play because these games are coming every 48 hours and right. It's become, you know, heroes out for the Heat. We don't know if we're going to get Smart, Robert Williams. Is Tatum going to play? Are all three going to be out?
Right.
Is all three going to play?
Or is Jimmy Butler, is he going to play?
Right.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, we're like an hour and a half from game time. Marcus Smart out.
I didn't even hear that. I thought all three of them were going to play. But you and I, when we walked to the game, were saying, would we rather have Smart out or Robert Williams out? As it turned out, Robert Williams had a terrific game.
Well, I remember saying to you, I was optimistic about two things. One was the extender, Scott Foster.
It was very nice to see him out there when we're behind in the series.
It felt like he was an asset. And then we figured one of White and Pritchard had to play well. And if we could get one of those guys, yeah, we had a chance. And in the extender had to do his job.
Well, ironically, you know, even though White kept missing all those shots, he was doing a lot of other things. He was rebounding. He made some terrific passes in traffic.
Good defense.
He can't dribble, but we don't have anybody on our team who can dribble, so that's not really anything that can highlight White. I thought Pritchard, though, played a really good game when he came in, too.
Yeah, Pritchard came in with some confidence. Robert Williams was fantastic. I mean, the story of the game was our defense in the first half was the defense that this team, you were going to the games, you were telling me.
Yeah,
February, March, April, the way they would play defense and how they could just lock teams down for stretches, not just for like 4 minutes, for like an entire half. That's what they were doing.
Well, I started, as obviously, the beginning of the season, the new coach put a defensive strategy in of switching.
Yeah.
And it was not working. They just didn't get it in the beginning. And inevitably, there was always somebody open because somebody didn't make the correct switch. And then the light bulb went off the end of January, and they've been terrific ever since.
When did you start believing in the team? It was like right around after the All-Star break, right?
Yeah, I'd say beginning of March.
Yeah. Well, a big piece was Robert Williams. You saw it tonight.
Yeah.
We saw the full Rob Williams. He was incredible in the first half, couple alley-oops, challenging everything.
Yeah.
Miami, you know, all the free throws were on the Boston side. They were a little more aggressive going to the basket, but Miami, they were settling for 2 points. I think I saw at halftime, I was looking at Twitter, like 30% of their shots were long twos, which is exactly what you want.
And that's the Robert Williams impact. I mean, he intimidates them from driving to the basket.
Right. And Butler, there's a lot of front rim stuff just in general in this game.
Butler shot 3 for 14.
Yeah, Butler looked like luggage.
Game.
Lowry had nothing.
No.
The most interesting thing, because we went to Saturday, and I talked about it on the pod yesterday with Russillo, but, you know, Saturday was a football game.
Right.
And Miami was really loud. They were two things in particular. PJ Tucker was just allowed to do whatever he wanted. And Bam, those a lot of moving picks, semi-moving picks. He was just getting away with stuff. And it was, and they weren't even trying to do it in the first half, which we thought was interesting because we just assumed the refs were like, hey, you're not doing that stuff this game.
Right.
Don't even do it. And we're going to call it every time. So you could tell they scaled it back. And then the third quarter, they tried to ratchet it up again. And Foster was like, nope, the extender came in. He was like, nope, moving pick. Nope, PJ Tucker, you can't do that. And PJ Tucker, I thought, was going to hit somebody.
And Adebayo got called for a pick as well. And
yeah,
the things that they never got called for on Saturday, you made a comment that it's almost like he went to the bench and said, you cannot play like you did on Saturday.
Right.
And they, it's like,
he was like a sheriff. I was watching him before the game and he just kind of stands there at midcourt and he's like, your favorite actor is Clint Eastwood. He had kind of a Clint Eastwood vibe to him. Like, I'm here to settle all the stuff that should not have happened on Saturday night. We will not be doing that in this game.
Well, there was one point early on when Lowry, who complains about everything.
Yeah.
Every single play he's complaining. And Foster just gave him the evil eye. And that was the end of Lowry. I never saw him again.
And we should mention, we've been on the other side of Scott Foster games.
We can't stand usually when he's the referee.
Yeah.
But tonight, we were hoping he would be the referee.
Remember game 5 of the 2008 finals when we were in LA and we thought we had a chance to see them clinch in the LA? Scott Foster was like, no, it's actually going to go back to Boston.
No, he was extending the series.
Yeah. Well, so defensively, the Celtics were great.
Well, the one thing,
where was that effort in game 3?
I thought you and I think agreed. The most valuable player, even though he only had 5 or 6 points, was Al Horford.
Al Horford was
great. He was everywhere.
And he was getting rebounds and pushing immediately. Yes. They were looked like they were trying to.
Well, ironically, he was the only one who could dribble. He's dribbling up the court. He's not losing it.
Yeah, he had 5 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 blocks.
Yeah, the blocks were big.
He had 4 blocks. Williams had 2. In general, they had 11 blocks, which is a lot. Miami only had 2. And the big thing, the defense and then the turnovers, at least in the first half, they weren't turning over the ball. And that's how Miami was getting a lot of points in game 3.
Yeah, they had a stretch, I'd say the last 4 minutes of the third quarter, where we just stopped playing or we took quick shots.
The crowd was dead.
Yeah, the crowd was dead. And it was like people knew we were going to win and it was time to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you had four Milwaukee games and all those were wars. And then you had, you know, game 3 and 4 of this, but pretty close together. 6 like high intensity playoff games combined with like the 8:30. So the crowd was into it, but I felt like in the second half, big lead, the crowd kind of died, the team died. And then Miami was just kind of lingering, but Lowry and Butler had nothing. But then Oladipo carried them for a little while in the first half. In the second half, Martin came in, he started making shots.
Right.
Vincent made some shots and they were just kind of hanging around, but they could never get it going.
Yeah, they never got below 20 though.
Yeah.
They still seem to be playing very hard, but that first half, they couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, I was texting a couple people at halftime and I was saying, the Heat aren't like rolling over in this game.
No.
Like they wanted, I felt like they thought they could get this game, especially without Smart. And they were really aggressive, but they just, the Celtics D was great. They really just won this game in the first quarter. I mean, the rest of the game.
Well, the rest of the
second
game.
Second quarter, we won by six.
We probably lost the second half.
We lost the second half.
Yeah. But again, our starters weren't playing. And their bench is deeper than our bench. And that's what happened in the fourth quarter.
Well, and they didn't use all their tricks in this game. I think you made the key point. Even though I thought Miami played really hard, I thought they were trying to win, but they kept a couple arrows in the quiver.
They got the game they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, they have the seventh game if it goes that long.
Does home court even matter in this series, though?
Well, maybe we'll find out more on Wednesday night. I mean, we beat them once. We obviously, in a 2-2 series, when they have the seventh game, we have to beat them again.
Is that your expert analysis?
Yeah, that's my expert analysis.
I thought Mark Jackson was here.
What time is it?
Well, they had the funniest thing is Strus, who hit the all-time dagger shot.
Right in our face.
Right in our face. We had the direct angle on it to basically swing game three. I still can't believe he made that. And today he was absolutely destroyed. He was 0 for 7.
Well, it wasn't even that. Every time he was on the court.
Oh, they're hunting him.
They hunted him.
Oh, my God. So he's 0 for 7 offensively, getting hunted like he was in, what was that movie, The Hunt, a couple years ago, that Blumhouse movie? He was minus 33 in 15 minutes.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Really?
So they played him off the court. Robinson comes in.
We hit four threes, I think.
But all non-pressure into the game threes.
Garbage time.
But, you know, he we thought he had deer in the headlights when it was like an actual meaningful part of the game.
Well, when he
but
came
maybe in, he got going in garbage time.
Well, but it was against the subs. When he was in there and we had our starters, we were hunting either Robinson or Strus on defense. Every time either Tatum or Brown made the switch, that's the guy they wanted guarding them.
Yeah.
And they destroyed. Although Brown's shooting night was very weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brown was rough. He sometimes just has like shit quarters.
You know how in football they have
two turnovers and two fouls in like 6 minutes?
Right. Their running backs go through like the gauntlet to try to make sure they can hold on to the ball. They should do that with Brown in basketball. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, the Heat just dive at his knees.
Yeah,
when he's putting the ball on the ground, you see they have us, and it's every guy on the team. It's not just Oladipo. Right. They're all like diving, trying to tip it. He was pretty bad, but he was playing hard. And Tatum,
how many turnovers for Brown and Tatum tonight?
Brown had one turnover. Tatum had three.
See, Brown, it looked
White
like
had three, and it felt like 100.
I thought Brown had 100. sometimes he would regain the dribble and pass, but
Tatum. Even though he wasn't shooting threes and we didn't feel like, I don't know how much people could see on TV, but he was doing a lot of stuff with his shoulder.
He kept raising his shoulder and shaking his hand.
Almost like when you have
a stinger. He has a stinger.
Yeah. But I'm trying to explain it to the listeners. Like when you, I don't know, you hit your funny bone or something, you start shaking your arm to try to make it stop. That he kept doing that.
And he kept
every
putting,
time there was like a dead whistle or
and
something.
And he kept putting his right arm above his head.
Yeah.
Trying to stretch it out, but
he played really well, except he just, you could tell his threes, he didn't have the same kind of release, but everything else was.
I think he had two threes that were air balls, which he never, ever does.
And they were doing some stuff. They were doing, I think the big change they made schematically was, it was a lot of like side to side stuff and handoff stuff and going left to right or right to left, trying to get different guys on him until basically poor Strus, who, by the way, we're trashing Strus. We're literally not trashing him. He was bad today. He's probably going to hit like 10 threes in game five. Right. I fully expect him to have like 30 points.
The one thing that was nice to see with the Celts, there was a period where Miami tried to get back in the game by going zone.
Yeah.
And they killed us 2 years ago in the bubble when they went to zone. And we handled it really well. They had a tendency to put Tatum in the middle or Horford in the middle.
Yeah, we were taking like 15-footers.
Yes. And they quickly went out of the zone.
And then we're getting little alley-oops from that too, which I enjoyed.
Yes, I enjoyed that too.
But then third quarter, Rob Williams, who was all over the place, seemed like he landed a little funny on
Yeah, you noticed
like alley-oop. Yep. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, and you
and
can
then
see
you can
him.
See him. He gets like this weird grimace, and he'll look down his knee. He'll look up,
and he rubs.
And then
it.
You see the whole coaching staff kind of looking at him, and you know, I think.
And then we never saw him again, except he came back out to the bench with a machine on his right leg, right knee.
Yeah, I put a picture on my Instagram stories of Smart in street clothes next to Robert Williams, who had a 25-pound clock on his knee. I don't even know what the thing did.
And that's the problem with
this. And we were saying get him out the moment that happened.
We were. The problem with every other night. I mean, there's no time to recuperate for either team, obviously, but we seem to have more injuries at the moment.
I think this is a problem for the league. Haralabob was the first one who was saying this on my pod a few weeks ago, that he thought the scheduling stuff was too big of an ask for if you have situations like what we had here where, you know, especially the front rim stuff, it wasn't like a great basketball game.
But I can see the strategy of, you know, we'll keep the momentum. We'll have one series, one night. But it's kind of blowing up in their faces with Golden State probably sweeping that series. So now Golden State's going to sit back waiting for the winner of Boston, Miami, who are beating each other up.
Right.
And still we're going every other night. So
if it were up to me, if I was the czar of this, I don't think we should have played that Tuesday after the Sunday. I would make it where it has to be 3 days between the series.
We should have done Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, if we're going to do every other day.
And if you're going to do every other day, I would take a break after a game. I would have an extra day between 4 and 5.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about that.
Yeah, I think that if you're just like, you know, is this a product? Do you want this to be a good product for the fans? Or do you want to watch everybody front rim threes and twos for game four?
Which is what Tatum was doing, front rimming all night long.
Because we usually love game fours.
Yeah.
Those are usually like game four and game five are usually my favorite games of the series. This was like not a great game.
Well, now I wish we did have an extra day because now we're 2-2. You and I were saying on the walk back, that's probably where we should be.
Yeah, I think that's the right.
And now
I think the Celtics are a little better, but I think Miami's a little smarter.
Yeah. And
a little tougher.
Tougher depending on how the refs are calling the game.
Right. And that's the problem with this is if it's really going to depend on that first quarter and who's calling the game and what they're allowing.
Well, Tucker was maybe the MVP of the game on Saturday night. He was a no-show tonight because they wouldn't let him be aggressive.
Yeah, I was trying to tell Rossillo what that was like in person, alpha male performance by Tucker. It was really impressive.
It was impressive.
Wasn't the same tonight.
And by the fourth quarter, as everybody saw, Tatum had deer in the headlight look and was in a fog. Then he came out tonight very aggressive. And
He was, I would call him purposeful tonight.
Yes. And even though he wasn't hitting the three and I don't know what he was, 1 for 6, something like that. He was doing all the other things.
He was 8 for 16 and he got to the free throw line 16 times.
16 times, wow.
And listen, I know the Heat fans, it was 38-14 free throw advantage. I thought most of them were like legit fouls. There was only two of them where I was like, oh, they might have gifted him on that one.
Well, I don't want to sound like a homer, but I'll often be at a game and it will strike me that one team is just shooting all the free throws and getting all the... It didn't seem that way tonight.
No.
I didn't even know that disparity was there tonight.
Well, and you look at the shot chart and Miami was just all long twos and threes. So you're not getting free throws shooting that. I guess the big thing, if I'm looking at it... Actually, let's take a break and we'll talk about it from Miami's side. Go yard all summer long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit home run rager on Tuesday's baseball games. And the best part of Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. I would think about riding Trevor Story, who's been red hot for the Red Sox out of nowhere. He seems happy. He's just got a different vibe about him. The Red Sox are a little hot right now, 5 in a row. Think about him. Think about Aaron Judge against the Orioles because Judge has been hot too. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than America's number one sportsbook. Head over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code BS to pick your home run hitter. That is promo code BS Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Connecticut, 888-789-777. In Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER. In Michigan, 800-270-7117. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York. Tennessee Redline is 800-889-9789. And in West Virginia, 1800-GAMBLER.net. Yeah, if I'm looking at it from Miami's side, they really miss Hero, who, you know, intermittently just murders us. Not every game, but like right. Every other game, and can carry them for quarters. And you felt tonight because he can create his own stuff. Lowry was honestly bad in both games.
Lowry was not the same guy we saw Saturday night.
But I didn't even think Saturday night, like, I know he was doing Lowry stuff, but it wasn't like he was destroying us offensively or anything.
But he was in charge.
He was. That's fair.
And tonight he wasn't in charge. Again, the refs did not allow them to play the kind of style they wanted to play. And that affected Lowry and it affected Tucker. You know, it also affected Butler. He had a weird game.
He just didn't seem like he had his legs. Yeah, Lowry was 4 for 11 on Saturday night. He was 1 for 6 today. So,
I know Butler obviously didn't play the second half Saturday. He didn't have that aggressiveness or first step tonight.
I thought he was a little afraid of Robert Williams. He was afraid to go at him, it seemed like. Didn't you think?
Yeah, I did. But I didn't know whether that might be because his knee was hurting.
His legs.
Yeah.
And Oladipo, who really was hitting some shots there for, I would say, about 4 or 5 minutes when they couldn't get offense from anybody.
Right.
He's weird, though. Sometimes he looks like the old Oladipo, and then other times he's going down the lane and he's got no burst at all. And he had like 2 or 3 plays today where he was going to the basket and ended up either just got blocked or he's just like kind of threw it over his head.
I thought he lost his legs in the second half.
Yeah, he was bad in the second
half.
They
played because of Hero being out. He played too many minutes in the first half, it looked like.
Yeah, he played 30 minutes. He finished 7 for 16, but he must have made like his first 4.
Right.
So that tailed off.
He kept them at least somewhat in the ball game in the first half.
And it was another like not awesome Grant Williams game too, who I think that Milwaukee series, there was a lot of miles on him. He played 37 minutes tonight, was 1 for 8, missed wide open threes. Defensively was doing good stuff.
Yeah, he did miss wide open threes. This is a funny matchup for him. I'm not sure they know who he should be guarding. Because Miami,
they've been putting him on Bam, they've been putting him on Jimmy Butler.
And he's too short for Bam.
Yeah.
And he's not quick enough for Jimmy Butler. So he's kind of out there trying to guard these 3-point shooters, and he looks out of place a little bit.
Playing hard.
talking the whole time.
Yeah, Lowry, I don't know if the TV cameras caught it, but Oladipo was going to the basket pretty hard in the third quarter. I think it was the third quarter, yeah. No, it was the second quarter. And Grant kind of gave him a little push in the back, and they called it. And the Miami bench was pissed. So Grant started talking to the bench and talking to Lowry, and they were going back and forth. Like, Grant just talks to everybody. He comes over, starts talking to Ime, and you could just, Russell and I talked about this the other day.
I heard you talking about
that. Yeah, Ime's ready for a vacation from Grant, I think. After seven months of Grant, I think he could maybe take a holiday.
I heard you describe him as the annoying younger brother. He's kind of annoying to watch, actually. He does some good stuff, obviously.
But he's one of those guys you're glad he's on your team.
You're glad
you'd
he's
hate
on
him if he was on the other team.
Yeah, that's very true.
You've 49 years, you've had Celtics season tickets. I don't think we've ever quite had a guy like him. These high energy. He's almost like in hockey where he's like the...
It's ironic. The one player that comes to mind, although he played a different position, and Danny Ainge.
Right, you're right.
He was annoying, but you were glad he was on your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone was mad at him every game, at least once.
Yes, all the fans in the other stadiums, you know, couldn't stand him, but...
Yeah. Well, and then the Derek White piece of all this, we mentioned him earlier, the trade of first rounder, pick swap.
He's just a heckle and jide or trick or treat or
heckle and jide or Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah.
It's now 11:47.
It's kind of late.
I might have to call an ambulance. I've never seen somebody in the same game where you're like, oh, he's got it tonight. He's so confident.
We thought he did, didn't we?
And then he'll have a stretch where you're like, oh my God, he can't dribble over midcourt.
Oh my God.
I know that little runner is not going to go in. And then it'll be like, no, he's actually going to throw this awesome alley-oop. And oh, he made a really good drive. He's just all over the place. He's a heart attack. He is like he's the pennant race reliever that you love and you feel like you're going to get out of the jam, but you also have to take the heart medication.
We've had guys like that too. Tony Allen.
Trick or treat Tony.
Yeah.
That's what you nicknamed him.
We've had trick or treat players before, but this guy does some good things.
Yeah.
Except when he's shooting, which is kind of ironic for a basketball player.
He's a better shooter than this, though. Yeah. I don't fully understand.
During the season, his runners often would go in. They're not going in the playoffs.
Well, listen, I mean, he basically had a Marcus Smart game, right? He had 13, 8, and 6. He had 3 steals. He had 3 turnovers, and he missed almost every 3 he took. That was basically a Marcus Smart impersonation.
If Marcus is having a bad shooting game.
Right. Yeah. I guess he's been a little more reliable from there. So the other thing is Tice. Basically, they're just not going to play Tice in this series.
Well, it was 2 for 3 tonight.
Right, in garbage time. And then Pritchard was pretty good, too. It seems like I'm just trying to map out in my head Game 7.
Yeah.
Assuming we can get to a Game 7, which I feel like we're going to split the next 2 somehow.
So you're not confident about Game 5?
I just think this is going 7.
Yeah.
And especially with the injuries and God only knows who's... I mean... Does Marcus even play Game 5? Game 5 is 2 days from now.
I know.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. And Robert Williams with that machine on his leg. And
Robert Williams had a thing on his leg that looked like...
I've never seen that thing before. At least he came out. I mean, he didn't even show up for the game
like
Saturday.
If somebody showed up at your house with the thing he had on his knee, I would assume like something horrible had happened.
I would assume that they just had knee replacement surgery.
Right. It's like one of your friends from college.
My brother Bob, who had both knees replaced. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But his spirit seemed okay. I don't know. It seems like a game-to-game thing for him.
No, that's a good point, though. He was joking and laughing and dancing a little on the sidelines with the machine on his leg.
Miami, what was your take from watching them for 2 games from a team chemistry standpoint? Very businesslike.
Well, they got the game they needed.
Yeah.
And I think, although they did try hard tonight, when the shots weren't falling, they got the game they needed. And I think they backed off.
Well, they bench. We figured we wouldn't see Bam and Butler.
And we didn't.
And Lowry in the fourth, which we did not. Well, I have no idea what's going to happen in this series.
You know.
You could tell me.
Yeah.
You go and I'm going to look on FanDuel.
Well, I was watching Smart on the sidelines and he was walking around okay. So maybe,
it wasn't like he was on crutches.
No, maybe he does play Wednesday night. And maybe that machine...
Regenerating Time Lords MCL.
Yeah, and maybe they just tape up Derek White's hamstring and he's okay. And
Celtics are -155 for the series, even though the next 2 of the next 3 are in Miami.
That's very strange, given that, again, like you just said, 2 of the 3 are in Miami.
What do you think about it?
You know who had of all the players tonight who had the weirdest game because he killed us in Game 3?
Yeah.
Adebayo.
Yeah.
He had a poor
He seemed very game frustrated.
One, a poor game 2. He was a monster in game 3 and he had a poor game 4. It's very strange for a guy that killed us in the bubble 2 years ago.
It felt like they found something in game 3 when they were giving him space and ISOing him, but the Celtics, I couldn't even totally tell what they did or whether Miami just wasn't really doing this game.
I thought Robert Williams made a difference in how...
Made him not want to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he didn't go to the rim.
Right.
It's amazing what an intimidating player at the rim Robert Williams has become.
Yeah, in person. Pretty impressive. And feels like Embiid-esque almost. Like he's got that much size and wingspan where it just seems like he's everywhere for a couple stretches.
With hops that Embiid doesn't really have.
Yeah.
And obviously he can't shoot anywhere away from the basket, but they don't want him to. They don't need him to.
Did you think after they beat Milwaukee that the Celtics were going to win the title?
I think I said to you, if we're healthy.
Yeah.
And I've always thought with this team, because watching them all year long, when they had their entire team, they were almost unbeatable.
Yeah.
But whenever they had one of their starters out, they weren't the same. It's like the ball movement wasn't the same, and the defense, the shifting and the assignments weren't covered the same way. So that was always my hesitation about this team. Too many injuries during the second half of the year.
Yeah. Did you feel, when did you think Tatum could be a guy, like a guy on the short list, like Russell and I talked about? Like at what point during the season? Was it the Brooklyn game? Because I think he went to that game.
Yeah.
And then in March, when he was just toe-to-toe with Durant?
Yeah. I mean, there were a series of games where he was unstoppable. And
because you've been pretty frustrated with him over the years because you don't like the pull ups and you don't want like to go to the basket.
I don't like it. Very frequently, I don't like his shot selection. I think I wish he went to the basket more. But
the stuff he did today is the type of game we want from him. A lot of free throw attempts,
right?
But really smart choices.
And ironically, I agree, but. Why did he play that way? Well, because his shoulder is stung and he can't, I mean, he had two air balls. He can't shoot the three. So he's forced to do other things. I wish he played that way all the time.
Yeah, it's funny. He's got to be one of the best 7-8 players in the league at this point, but it still feels like there's ways for him to get better. Yeah.
Well, I looked up at the scoreboard and you mentioned, I think he had 24 points. I don't know.
Yeah,
we were up by 24 and he had 24 points.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had 24 points.
Yeah, it was a quiet 24.
It was a quiet 24. And I also forgot or didn't realize how often he was at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Because the threes just weren't, I mean, he was 0 for 5 at one point, I think. But, you know, he played a game that I wish he played more frequently, going to the basket or.
This is some team.
Yeah.
I've just never seen a team like this that the highs are so high, the right. lows are so low. There's just obvious flaws all over the place.
Well, look at this series. We're game two.
We looked like the super team.
I think we're up by 25 at half.
Yeah.
Game three, they're up 25 at half. Game four tonight, we're up 25 at half. Those are weird splits.
Yeah.
For teams that are pretty evenly matched.
I think it goes 7. Miami will turn that into a rock fight. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested. It's going to almost be like an attrition thing.
Well,
who's going to be healthy? Each side has probably 7 guys they're going to trust. What is the health and shape of those 7 guys in that game? We're going Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
I know. If Miami wins Wednesday night, can I request Scott Foster to referee on Friday night?
Can Scott just stay here? Can we get him a hotel suite?
I mean, he can stay at my place. We got an extra bedroom.
refs we don't want to see tomorrow night.
Tony Brothers, please, no.
Kane Fitzgerald, I was there tonight. I wasn't excited, but he was pretty quiet
tonight. He was very quiet.
Sheriff Scott Foster, I think, told him, this is my show.
I think so.
Tony Brothers, I think, can be bad for both sides. I know he kills us, but I think he kills everybody. Mark Davis, I feel like we never win when Mark Davis is there.
I think the stats back that up, that we don't win with him.
It's great. It never feels great.
When you look at some of the stats of how we do with certain referees, it's amazing how consistently inconsistent they are.
Yeah. 49 years for you.
This is my 49th season. I was fortunate enough to get my ticket in 1973. And that first season, I saw a championship.
With some of the guys are not alive anymore. That, like John Havlicek, our guy.
John Havlicek, JoJo White.
We lost
him.
Yeah, we lost JoJo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next year is the 50. It's pretty, you still have a pretty good memory for all the different seasons, though.
Fortunately, I do, knock on wood. Fortunately, my memory is still there. And you were at so many of the games. I mean, that first season, obviously.
I don't think I went to a lot of, I was only four.
You went to very few.
Yeah. I think the next year I started going.
Yeah. Well, obviously, certainly 2 years later, because you went to almost all the playoff games.
I went to the triple overtime game, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we, all the way through, man, it's been a long time.
And I remember
half a century for you. I remember
having a teacher conference and the teacher saying, you know, your son is barely awake when he comes to school in the morning. yeah, he might have been to the Celtic game last night.
Well, that, the triple OT one, we got home at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get the 8:30 starts. I don't know why they do that. Why don't they steal from football? Football, when they have like the Super Bowl, it starts at 6:30.
Right.
Well, East Coast time.
You said it was because of Europe. It can't be because of Europe. It's four in the morning
that was a
in
bad
Europe.
Take.
Yeah. I assumed it was because of West Coast.
We had some people that were just throwing it down in our section tonight. I mean, one guy made us stand up 10 times. And that guy.
Well, not only that, but every time he came back, he had two drinks and they weren't beers.
No.
They were mixed cocktails.
Oh, yeah. That guy was tying one on. Yeah, there was some alcohol use in the stands tonight. But
it was annoying a little bit. The other thing that's annoying, much more annoying, is the beginning of the third quarter.
When nobody's back in their seats.
Suddenly the game is being played.
Yeah.
It's a critical time of the game because one team can make a run and it's hard to pay attention.
Yeah, I think halftime should be longer. I would get rid of one of the TV timeouts and I'd make halftime longer because it just doesn't seem like halftime's long enough. People are trying to get food and drink and they're waiting in lines and they can't get back to their seat.
Well, I would do it like they do at the ballet or the symphony. If you're not in your seat when the third quarter starts,
you're not allowed back in?
You're not allowed back.
We don't leave. We stay in our seats.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere.
So what's your prediction? Do we make the finals? Are we getting a Warriors-Celtics finals, Steph Curry?
My prediction is we win the next two games.
Really?
I'm not going to predict against my own team.
But do you really think we can win the next two games?
If all our players play.
It does feel like the ceiling of our team is higher.
Ceiling is higher if we're all playing.
But if it's going to be an ugly, everybody's injured game seven, I like Miami's chances in that game because those guys have been in a lot of games. Although, you look at our team, we have guys now who have been in a lot of playoff games, like Tatum and Brown and Smart and Horford. Those guys have all been in a lot of it this point.
Miami does also, though.
Yeah. I'm just saying we're not like a young team. Like, I feel like we do have experience.
I hope we're not in this stretch now. Robert Williams can't play Wednesday night because he has to rest his knee because there's not enough time between games.
Right.
And that's what my worry is. And then I don't feel so confident. I don't know the status. You know, watching the replay from Saturday of Marcus Smart's injury.
Right.
That ankle took a 90-degree turn.
Can we talk about your wife's text during that?
She texted.
By the way, she's a doctor.
I know. She's watching on TV and she texted that she thought Marcus broke his tibia and fibula.
Yeah, she said he broke two bones. Yeah. So that text is sitting in your phone.
Yeah, it is.
And then 90 seconds later, Marcus comes out. He's back in the game.
Reminiscent of Paul Pierce coming out in the wheelchair. Yeah.
She was like, tibia and fibula, both double break.
And we had to believe her because we didn't know. He wasn't out there yet.
Let's end on Al Horford.
Okay. Terrific game.
So Al Horford, we signed him in 2016. It's the first free agent the Celtics have signed. It felt like 20 years.
It was
a
huge signing.
Yeah. It just felt like no free agents ever wanted to come here. Right. It was always a big topic of dialogue here.
Right.
He comes here. We're in a lot of good games and runs, beloved teammate. And then we have this terrible Kyrie Irving season that you had to go to the games. So you started giving away your tickets near the end of that.
They were hard to sell.
Yeah, they're hard to sell, or family members are getting them. Then Al signs with Philly.
Which is shocking. It's It's the second signing that really bugged me. The other one, obviously, was Ray Allen signing with Miami.
Yeah.
And I understand the money part. I mean, they offered him a deal he couldn't turn down money-wise, but it just seemed like a betrayal to some extent because he was such a great teammate.
Yeah, but I think the Celtics, like, they didn't really fully go after
him. I guess not.
And I think he took it personally, which I understand from his side. But yeah, it was like, wow, you're going there. Yeah,
you're going there.
Johnny Damon was the worst one.
Yeah, he was the
worst.
Going
to the Yankees?
Well, Ellsbury too.
Yeah, but we were kind of psyched that they signed. Yeah. We were like, kind of glad we stuck with Ellsbury.
But you know, I love to hear Horford talk this year about how grateful he is and appreciative he is that he has the love of basketball back.
Yeah.
Because he's playing with a team he really enjoys playing with. He's appreciated by the team and the fans. Fans love him.
I would say he's way up there for popular Celtics. Yeah. He does this thing, and I don't know if you can get it on TV, but he really like interacts with the crowd. Like he'll have a block and he'll walk over to a section almost like a professional wrestler and just kind of like almost like what KG used to do.
And he'll put his, he'll
do like a little bicep thing. Yeah.
Fans, you know, start cheering. We want it louder. We want it louder.
Yeah. And I think he is an absolutely beloved teammate. I mean, those guys.
He was a monster on the boards tonight.
Yeah, he was great.
I agree with you about it. His teammates respect and love him. He's a real leader of the team.
You know, Presti, the OKC GM, who went to Emerson, mm-hmm. and then, you know, is a Massachusetts guy. And he keeps Al on ice all year, right? Al gets to rest his knees, and then he sends him to us. It was a nice little gift by Preston.
It really was.
I appreciate that.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, it was nice that he did that for us.
It wasn't
a gift.
But he
sends us a rested Al.
I mean, he did.
No, we gave him a first-round pick.
Yeah, and he likes first-round pick. We also gave him Kemba Walker.
yeah, that was a tough one. Yeah, Al's just such a unique player. That's why I think the Chet Holmgren-Al comparisons, even though they have totally different bodies, the whole thing. But I do think if Chet is successful, I don't think it's going to be in the way people think. I think it's going to be in like an Al Horford way, like 17 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks, just fun to play with, doesn't need the ball that much, good energy. Like that's going to be how he succeeds.
I hope so. I mean, it would be nice to see somebody else come in and play like that because
he's so unique.
His unselfish play is not the norm anymore. Everybody wants theirs. And he doesn't worry about his stats.
No, he does whatever it takes. Well, I'm glad he's back. It's been a great Celtic. Yep. All right, Dad. It was weird 2 games. I can't say I'll like be telling your grandkids about them, your great grandkids.
The high and the low actually was the low and the high.
We got to get a good game at some point in this series.
See, I think that's why I think game 5 is going to be a rock fight.
And you think Hero will play? I assume Smart will play. Who knows with Rob? Maybe we'll get everybody back, but everybody...
I hope everybody plays. And that's the way it should be. You know, both teams with full teams out there and fair refereeing.
All right, try to make it through the next couple playoff games. I was a little worried about you today. I don't want to have to wheel you out when they honor you for your 50th year of season ticket holder and I'm wheeling you out.
You know, these 8:45 starts...
All right, Dad, thanks.
All right, thanks. A lot of fun, son. Glad you were here.
Thank you. All right, Jalen Green is here from the Houston Rockets. As you know, I have good success with people named Jalen. My old partner, Jalen Rose, the original Jalen. Wait, how did you, how are you Jalen?
That's how that's what I'm named after. My mom named me after him.
So
my
mom
was a big basketball head.
He thinks he's the first Jalen, and all the evidence says he is.
Yeah, and in my book, he is. So, yeah.
Now there's like a Jalen every year in the draft. It's like it's becoming like John.
Very popular name. Yeah, very popular name.
So you finish your rookie season. Mm-hmm. I voted for you for second team. I put Herb Jones over you. I made a joke about it, and then everybody tried to make it seem like there was a beef. I thought you had a good season. I was into it. So I want us to just talk hoops. And then this can be the story coming out of it is that we had a nice hoops talk. When you really went on my radar last year was that second Lakers game, the overtime game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going against LeBron, who you're almost as old as his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're born in 2002. He comes into the league in 2003. you just seemed super comfortable as that game went along. And it was one of those things, I think you have to have it as a rookie. You have to have a couple of those games when you kind of levitate above the moment, which sure. I felt like you did. And you did that a bunch of times down the stretch. But did you feel like that was the most important game you played this year?
Yeah, I think that's where like it started my whole trend upward a little bit for my confidence and everything. You know, when you're on a big stage with the big name players, you tend to get a little bit more juiced up and stuff. So, yeah, I think those were one of my favorite games this year.
Were you talking to any crap during that game or no?
Yeah, I talked a little bit, but, you know, AD and Brian showed love, so it was cool.
So you growing up, you're a huge Hoop fan, and then you're playing, and LeBron is there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And by the time, I don't know, you're 10, he's LeBron. He's won multiple titles. He's won multiple MVPs. And then now you're on the court with him. Yeah. And you're basically like 2 years older than his oldest son. Does he talk to you? Is it like a big brother, little brother thing? Like what goes, walk me through how that goes.
I've had one conversation with him when I was going through like my whole draft process, figuring out who I'm signing with and stuff for agency wise. I had one conversation with him. It turned out we had similar backgrounds in a way. So he was just giving me a lot of advice. So yeah, I think you would say it's like a big bro type of thing, but we don't really talk too often. So yeah.
What about on the court though? What about as you're kicking his butt in that overtime game?
Nah, he's not saying nothing to me. He's not saying nothing to me. I don't think he would say anything. I'm pretty sure he's locked in. You know, he got takeover mode. So, you know, if you're trying to lock in and get the dub.
So you go to the NBA, there's bodies that you're going against. LeBron's a good example, right? He's like 6'8" and a half, 270. Mm-hmm. And you've just come out of playing high school and you're in the G League for a year. Like, what were some of the guys that you were like, first time you play Giannis, were you just like, oh my God, how am I even in the same universe with this person?
This year I didn't get a chance to play Giannis because the time when we was playing, I was out 15 games from my injury. Someone that could relate with that is Joel Embiid. I had got him in a post one time. I was trying to hold my ground, and he just took one dribble, put his shoulder down, just moved me and dunked it. That was the first time I ever felt like Lil Boy in the situation. It was crazy.
Yeah, he's a legit 7'2".
Yeah, and for 300.
There's some of these dudes. That's the thing. Like I wasn't able to go to basketball for 2 years, obviously, because of the pandemic. And then going back to the games, and you forget how jaw-dropping some of the athletes are and some of the bodies are, right? Like, I was just going to these Celtics-Bucks games, just watching Giannis just stroll around. And it's like, Jesus, this guy's 7 feet tall. Yeah. He's completely ripped. He can jump from the foul line. Like, yeah. I can't believe this. Who was, like, your role model as you're coming up? Because, like, you're, like, the prototypical two-guard, right? You're in that MJ Kobe kind of class, same type of body, same kind of explosiveness. So who's your guy?
I think you just said them both right now, MJ and Kobe. MJ always been one since like growing up, like as a kid. Always had MJ posters, stuff like that. Always wore Jordans. But it didn't start until like middle of my high school year. I'll say like my junior year that I started really falling in love with Kobe just because I started watching more videos about his mindset, his mentality, how you approach the game, how he carried himself, and just always putting in the work and stuff. So that was the time I started to really lock in mentally, try to get stronger physically. And Kobe is one of the people I was following during that time.
Did you steal any moves from him?
Yeah, I worked on a lot of post game, like fadeaway shots and stuff out of the block. Coming up through high school, I haven't got to showcase him yet in the league. I mean, I had a couple of turnaway jumpers, but haven't got my post game. I'm waiting until I get a little bit stronger.
Right. Well, you had the face-up game. Yeah, you'll have 25 more pounds of muscle 5-6 yeah. years from now, I would say, something like that. And that's the thing with Kobe. Kobe was, especially those first few years on the Lakers, very similar to you. Like everything was going forward. And then mid-2000s, all of a sudden he added this physicality to his game. LeBron did the same thing.
Yeah. There was no changes once you slow the game down.
Well, you know what happens. You play in these playoff games and the better the defenses are, mm-hmm. there's no path to the rim anymore. And you have to have like that plan B. LeBron really didn't have it, I don't think, till like 2012, 13. And now it's become such a big part of it. Now he just overpowers people.
Yeah, thanks.
Who else really knocked your socks off? Because you go from watching these guys on TV to all of a sudden you're playing games with these guys. They're jumping out of your TV and going against you. Was there anybody that, other than like Embiid, was there anybody you were like, oh my God, this guy?
Kyrie Irving.
Really? And, explain. Yeah.
And Kyrie Irving is one of my big boys. He's been communicating with me here and there all since high school. So he was just making everything. Stopping pop threes, getting to the rim. You know, he's so wiggly downhill. It's like hard to guard. He was just, everything you see on TV, all the highlights and stuff, it was showcased right in front of me. So it was just crazy to see.
Did you feel like your team wasn't good last year? Did you feel like, were there teams, there's certain nights when teams just seemed like they underestimated you and it was an advantage for you guys? Or how did you feel like you were regarded by the rest of the league, the team?
In the beginning, I think they played back to my drive more than anything, just because I struggled shooting in the beginning. But once I started putting everything together, like towards the end of the season, I started seeing like a lot of double teams. Just a lot of double teams, a lot of ices, things like that. That's pretty much my whole next step for next season, just trying to figure out how to play the double team, how to get my team involved when I can't get going, just things like that. So I'm not a drought in the team.
Well, you have the 3-point shot already. That's helpful.
Yeah.
You have the explosiveness. Helpful. That's helpful. Yeah. And it seems like you have the competitiveness. Cause I've been studying the draft and I love the draft. And all these years later, like the first thing I look for is does guy want to put in the work? And you can kind of tell when you read the stories or you see the, like Jabari Smith, I think is like this. You read the stuff about him and it's like, that guy wants to be great. Like he's going to put the work in. And, you know, at some point, I'm sure you saw this when you come into the league, like a lot of these guys are talented, you know, it's not like you're going to have more talent than, you know, 20 other guys. You might be in that top group, but then the work ethic, that's what made Kobe special. That's what made LeBron special. But it seems like you have that. So you're spending the summer, you're working on getting a little more physical. That what else are you working on?
I'm working on keeping my handle tight, being able to get better at catch and shoot threes, make reads off the pick and roll, just the next level type things, like corner pass when the low man helps all the way over.
Decision making
in general. I'm working on a whole bunch right now. But the main goal right now, while I'm in Houston, I've been going to practice and everything, is just trying to get stronger, trying to get my weight up, lock in on my body, make sure everything's tip-top shape so I can go into next year.
Protein shakes?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Dude, what's the diet? A lot of calories?
Yeah, I mean, I eat good portions of meals. That's a big thing right now, is just portions of meals, protein shakes, drinking a lot of water. Those are the main things right now.
Because you can't put on too much weight. You don't want to like mess up. Yeah. I mean, you have that. Sure. You want to keep your explosiveness, but you also want to. I was watching. I think Jaylen Brown's a good example of this, right? On when he came in as a rookie, he's only playing like 12 minutes a game in the playoffs that first year, and he just at some point just kind of filled out in a way that now he can guard all these type of guys. Jason Tatum always had the big shoulders, so even when he was a pup, he could still go out there. Do it. But then you see some of the other dudes, you see the weight that they put on gradually. Kobe was like this. Kobe was like a string bean when he came in the league.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I watched a lot of Kobe when he was younger, just to see like how he came into the league, what his mentality was, and like how everything just changed for him.
Do you think, so Kobe comes in, he's on a good team right away, right? He goes in, he's with Shaq. They're in the playoffs. They have higher expectations. And also he's playing for the Lakers, one of the most famous franchises we have. And a lot of his games are on TV and he's just in there. You got to go, you know, you're on a lottery team. You got to maybe not have the same kind of fishbowl type of thing. Which is better, do you think? Is it better to just kind of be able to practice your craft and low expectations on your team, or just to be thrown into the fire like that?
I think both is pretty good. I mean, at the end of the day, if you go into a lottery team and you being able to get on the court and just get experience, being able to play with guys, learn how to play off each other, I mean, it's a rebuild at the end of the day. So you're learning everything on the fly. You're picking up from your coaches, film, doing the extra things because you just had a bad year. You lost. You got the feeling of losing. So you don't want to feel that no more. So now you're going through it, trying to figure out everything you could possibly do to be better, be a leader, take it to the next level. But I mean, if you're on a winning team, you got all those vets on the team that you could just learn from. So, I mean, you see their routines and stuff, see what they're doing, pick up on some of their stuff, take it, make it some of yours, build habits. But, yeah, that's my biggest thing right now is just building habits, staying on my routine. And, yeah, like I said, take it to another level.
And you had, I mean, there were some trades last year. You had a lot of teammates, too, but you're probably used to that from the AAU era.
Yeah.
When you're AAU, your teammates are changing all the time.
You always got different teammates at AAU.
When did you start? When did you go into the AAU cycle? Like fifth grade, sixth grade? When did it start?
Yeah, I started playing AAU around there. But I was a football player. I didn't take basketball serious till about ninth grade. Yeah, I didn't take it serious till about ninth grade is when I sat out and started training. So yeah, that's when
What was the football? What were the positions?
I was, for Pee Wee, I was running back. For middle school, I was wide receiver.
I'm guessing you were a decent wide receiver.
Yeah, I was close. I was close. But the injury messed me up, and I was like, I can't do this no more.
What happened?
I had ran, I don't know what route I ran. I had came back, caught the ball, turned, and dude, like, smacked me right in my knee, and my knee, like, extended all the way.
So
yeah, it was pretty bad. So I was can't do this no more.
You know, Edwards on Minnesota was like this legendary high school football player and basically kind of stumbled into playing basketball. But I think he always thought he's a football player. And there's this alternate universe with him where it's like, what would this guy have been like on a football field? It sounds like you abandoned your thing before them. But is there a potential rivalry with you and him in a good way? You and Edwards?
Oh, yeah, in a good way. That's my brother. I mean, we've been battling since high school.
When was the first time you met him?
I think sophomore year, maybe junior. We was at USA, and he was killing at USA camp, going crazy. I was like, who is this? So we chopped it up a little bit. And then since then, we became cool. And then next time I seen him was at Steph Curry camp, right before he classed up to go to college. So he went out of my class and went straight to college after that. And then we've been cool ever since.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see how his career turns out. Cause it's a good example of what we were talking about earlier. Like sometimes at the situation, certain people rise up and certain people don't. And you could see like, I think both of you have it, just being unafraid of whatever moment is happening. In his case, like, I mean, the downhill stuff with him is pretty nuts.
Yeah.
I'd say you have different styles, but that could be a pretty good rivalry, especially because it's in the same conference.
Yeah, always. Me and him go put on a show every time we step on the floor. It's funny because after All-Star, we had played them right before All-Star break. He was telling me he better average 25 after All-Star. And then we played him the next time. I had 30. So it all worked.
Who was your, did you have like a rival in high school? Because you spent 3 years at one high school and then you switched for your senior year. But did you have a guy you were measuring yourself against?
I wouldn't say measuring myself against anybody. But I mean, I think everybody in the top 10 of the ESPN rankings was pretty much going at each other's heads.
So you're looking at that from what age? The rankings?
I started really looking at rankings when I got into the top 3 or top 5 or something like that. And then I started noticing, I was like, I want one. I need one. I'm trying to get to one now. I'm trying to be the best player in the class. So,
You finished. You were number one by the end, right?
By the end of it, I was number one. I left the class number one.
And there was no, you never thought about college or did it? Because you went to G League, but was college even a possibility or you just knew you were going G League?
College was a possibility for sure. You know, I didn't have all the big blue schools and stuff. So it was different for me. But college was a possibility. It was between Memphis and Auburn at the end of the day. And then G League came. They offered it, talking about how we're going to have a program so the players could come here learn how to become a pro early on and off the court. They offered school for us. So we was doing school at ASU. So I was like, why not? I mean, this has all the tools in the backyard. Let's just go here.
And it was, you got some money too, which was nice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And they got, you know, you were able to do, when did you go with like CAA? And when did all that stuff happen this year? When you went into the G League, you were able to get like a, figure out what your team was?
Yeah, it started when I was in the G League. That's when I got with CAA.
So then you're in this draft, which I think we're going to look back at as one of the best drafts.
Yeah.
It's just Cade, Mobley, Franz Wagner, Kuminga, Suggs. It goes on down the line. Like, I buy basketball cards. I like basketball cards. This is like, I'm getting multiple boxes from this year, not opening them. Cause it feels like there might be like 3-4 future All-NBA guys in that draft.
Yeah.
It's pretty loaded. So are you looking at box scores? Are you measuring yourself against these other guys? What's your process with that?
Box scores of who?
Just all the guys from your class. Like, are you always checking out what they're doing?
I mean, yeah, just because I support a lot of my guys in my class. A lot of them are my brothers. So it's like, I want to see how they're doing. I want to see what they're doing, what they're implying, what they got going for themselves. But yeah, I'm looking here and there. But at the same time, I can't really worry about that too much. I got to worry about what I got to do. Can't let their game affect me. Got to stay locked in.
You know when that changed? That was Jalen Rose's generation. That was the first time all those guys, there was like more of a brotherhood that came out of whoever was in the same class. Because the 70s and 80s guys, they could give a crap.
Yeah.
Right? And they all, like Bird and Magic, I don't think they talked for, you know, for the first 5 years of their career. They just, there was like, and then they did a Converse commercial, everything changed. Now everything's a lot more friendly. I do think, it does feel like the super team era might be dying down now.
Because
look at the teams that are left, right? Golden State, Draymond and Clay and Curry have been together, you know, for a whole decade.
Yeah.
You look at Boston, like they built around Tatum and Smart and Brown. Those guys have been together since 2016-17 range on down the line. Like even Dallas, like that's Luka's, like they drafted him. And I wonder like if that's going to be the new model because some of the super teams don't work out. Do you like the super team stuff or you like the homegrown stuff?
Yeah, I like the homegrown stuff. I ain't really been. It's exciting to watch the super team, obviously, but you know, I like the homegrown stuff, you know, chemistry, everyone playing together, normal roles, stuff like that.
How much hoop do you watch during the playoffs? Are you watching the games tonight or not?
I've been watching every game lately.
Any every takeaways? Game. We're taping this on a Monday. I'm going to the Celtics Heat game in a couple of hours, but what jumped out about Golden State?
I've always said this since the first time I played in there, that this is a tough team to guard just because they're always moving. Everyone knows their role. Steph's so hard to guard. Klay wasn't playing. I didn't get to play against Klay. I think I did, but it's just hard to guard them. They play.
You
so
got to play
hard.
Against Steph though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gamed us for one of the games. So.
What does that mean? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He hit a game winner on us and it was
I remember bad. That.
Yeah, that was bad.
But, yeah, the cool thing with what him and Draymond have now after all these years is like this unspoken, they just kind of always know what the other guy's going to do, which is becoming rarer and rarer now in basketball because the guys change teams or the contracts are shorter. It's just harder to keep people together.
Yeah.
And watching those two, I just really enjoy it. That's my favorite kind of basketball. I didn't know they had it this year, though. I was really worried about them during the Memphis series.
Really?
Yeah. Especially when they lost by 50.
Yeah. Jaw was going crazy. The whole that Memphis team is real gritty. I like how they play. They play so hard.
Well, they have a lot of guys throw at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be a possible rivalry. What was your take on Jokic? Had you ever seen anybody like him before?
Never. He's a super good big. Like just being able, like the difference between like Joel and Jokic, you see how Jokic is passing, getting everyone involved. Like, don't get it wrong, Joel Embiid is crazy. Like he's a walking double double. He's gonna get you 10 boards, 30 points, 40, 20 boards, you know? But Jokic got touched the whole stat sheet and it helps win. So it's crazy.
So you guys have a top 3 pick. Have they asked you for advice? Because you probably played against some of these guys. You don't have to tell me what you said, but do you feel like they're actually like, hey, let's ask Jalen what he thinks, or is it just your 20-year-old kid? They don't care.
Nah, I got asked who's my thoughts on somebody.
Yeah, you don't have to say. I don't want to put you in that position.
Nah, yeah, you good. But
I figured they would check with you though.
Yeah, they checked with me for sure. But I mean, we got a third pick. There's three great players, good players that's coming up. So
I think it's funny. It's funny how that works out when there's a clear top three.
Yeah.
And you have the third pick. It's almost like you can't do anything wrong at that point.
No, nah, you're right? Chilling. Yeah.
It's you're just chilling. Like whoever falls to you, that's who you get.
Let's build. Come on.
Yeah. I have Jabari first, but I could see the case for anybody. But I just, that's like my stupid work ethic thing. And I just like, I think the length and the shot that he has and the fact that he's going to keep adding, he's the safest bet to me. But I like all three guys. I was impressed at various times by all of them. You guys are in a position where it doesn't even matter who falls to you. The guy's going to be an asset. And then you're off.
Thanks.
This could be somebody who's in your life for like the next 12 years.
Yeah. So we've been a pretty good one.
So you lived in Houston year round. What was your situation? Do you have family with you? How'd you do it?
I moved out here. My family stayed home. My mom and my little sister and my older sister all back in Fresno. But I moved out here with both my big bros. And I got an apartment like 15 minutes from the Toyota Center. So it's easy to get straight there.
What was your reaction when you get drafted by them? What did you know about Houston?
I knew about the James Harden era. When he was going crazy. Yeah, Trevor Breeze, EG was still there. I knew about that era. They were going crazy during that year. Before that.
Do you know about the food?
Yeah, the food is crazy. Like, they got the best food out here, I swear. And that's where you put the weight on, for sure.
See, you better be careful.
Yeah, they got all types of different foods out here. I love it. But I was super excited when I heard I was getting drafted there. I didn't really care where I was going. I just wanted to be top. So that all worked out. And I'm happy where I'm at. I like my situation.
You know anything about the Hakeem era? Did they school you in that? Did they educate you?
Yeah, they gave us a little film breakdown. He was a goat in the post.
He's the most underrated guy of the last 30 years.
For sure.
Because Jordan leaves and Hakeem's the best guy for the entire time Jordan's out. But then Jordan comes back and loses. But now that's kind of been hung on Hakeem a little bit. Like, well, he won the two titles, but Jordan wasn't there. It's like I think they would have beaten the Bulls at least one of those times because he was unstoppable. They didn't have a center to
handle somebody like him. That little pump fake going there.
Oh my God. Crazy. He's ridiculous. And then they had shooting. They were kind of an early prototype of how hoops is played now with like the shooters surrounding the one guy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they could still get big too if they wanted to.
You can't close in or you're going to swing into the shooter, knock down.
How would you rate your basketball history chops? Like how much did you know about the NBA? Were you like a super fan or kind of a fan?
The history, man. I was a fan. I wouldn't say super fan. Just because I pick and chose my guys who I wanted to really, you know, really
play
and watch. Like Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, young Kobe, King Olajuwon. Like there's a ton of guys that I would watch individually, but I wouldn't say I'm a super fan. I like
well,
the
you're
style.
Also,
like,
you know. You weren't near an NBA team. How close were the Kings? How close were the Kings to Fresno?
Kings, it's like about 2 hours.
Yeah, so you didn't really have a team. Your generation goes for players though over teams. It seems like because I know my son doesn't have a favorite team. He just likes different players and people that he plays 2K with. And
that's exactly how it is now.
Yeah, you're a 2K guy.
I played it a little bit. I was never like super good. I would always just talk trash, get my friends all mad, act like I'm finna go crazy. But I was never that good. I ain't never been really a gamer, for real.
Well, you're a pretty interesting guy. You have like adult hobbies already, right? You're into like fashion and
yeah.
You have your own cologne. What's the, yeah. What's the cologne thing?
It's called Invictus. It was this little I went to Spain and did a little commercial.
Mm.
So it was in Europe. It was out there. It was this cologne for Invictus. It was super cool. We shot for 3 days. It was crazy stuff. They had me doing some awesome photo shoots. There's this one where I was on the back of a truck and there's like motorcycles in the back. It was a super cool experience.
What give me some more stuff that you're up to, non-basketball.
Non-basketball? Honestly, I think that's pretty much the only thing I got right now. I mean, other than Adidas coming out with some crazy stuff.
Mm.
That's pretty much it.
How much time do you spend online? Are you on Twitter? Are you on TikTok? Are you on Instagram? Are you seeing what people are saying? Like, are you one of those guys or you stay away?
I'm on Instagram mostly, Twitter a little bit. I don't really use TikTok too much. I don't think that's my era. I think that's for my little sister and stuff, you know? But yeah, I'm more of an Instagram guy. I'm starting to get on Twitter a little bit more. So.
Hmm. Yeah, I noticed that about 10 years ago with the players, especially like, you know, that some teams had to like ban phones at halftime and stuff like that. You could just go find anything. You could find any opinion. I do wonder, like, I don't know if that's a great thing for basketball. I would rather like shut that stuff off.
Yeah, for sure. Know? I mean, during season, I got off social media. I didn't even touch social media like that.
All right. So give me your goals for next year. What do you
next
got?
Year, win more than 20 games. I'm trying to be an all-star. And I'm trying to average 25. Yeah, 20 to 25, around there in that realm. I feel like the way I ended the year, I feel like if I bring that, carry it on to the start and all the way through, I mean, it shouldn't be no reason I couldn't.
And you think the offense, I mean, you guys don't, I guess you have John Wall's coming back, but they're, from a point guard standpoint, mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff could run through you, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how we started playing it towards the end of the year.
So to me, 23-5-5 seems conceivable for you
yeah.
next year, right? And then if you get to 25 in year two, that would be... that's a pretty big leap. When do you turn 21?
February 9th.
Yeah, that's a pretty big leap. 23-5-5, I think, is absolutely attainable, though. Plus, your team's going to be better. You guys have cap space.
Exactly.
You know, you have a little bit of more foundation. Got two top three picks now. So the West is in a weird spot too. I feel like it seems like a lot of the talent has shifted to the East.
Yeah.
In some way.
Sure. That's what we were saying during the season last year. Like the East got so many people right now. Like it's crazy.
But on the other hand, you put Kawhi's back.
Yeah.
Porter and Murray are going to be back on Denver.
Yeah.
So those two will be better.
Yeah, so it's going to get real next year. The West is going to be lit.
Last question. We're cool.
Yeah.
I'm on your team. When you see stuff like, you see that thing when I was talking about Herb Jones, and I was like, fuck Gerald Green. And then it gets pulled out. Like you had some dude on a podcast go after you. How do you even see that? How does that come to you? And are you like, wait a second, did that actually happen? Like, are you immediately suspicious?
No.
That it's like a...
When I seen it, I'm like, damn. I don't know him. What did I do to him? Like, I don't know where it's coming from. But, I mean, everyone's going to talk. I'm used to seeing things like that, people talking in general. But, I ain't never take it too personal. It's never nothing. I mean, I started making a joke out of it on Twitter. Laughed about it. It's all good.
Yeah, it's funny because when it happened, I was like, all right, this is like your classic stupid social media thing.
Yeah.
But then somebody tried to write some piece about it. And I was like, all right. And I did this tweet. I was like, we were joking the whole time. Like, oh, people could. So I felt like the facts were on my side. And then the way this goes, it keeps popping up. But then, I don't know. Like, hey, your class was really good. I had trouble figuring out who my five guys were. And for me, it's like, I've always had this strategy with the voting that the team record stuff matters to me. You know, yeah. You guys had 20 games. And I looked at the stuff Herb Jones was doing in New Orleans. And I was like, this guy, you know, this is a team that has a chance to make the playoffs. And he's in yeah. the, and I like rewarding that.
Their team got really good towards that time for the playoffs.
Right.
After that whole trade deadline, they got CJ.
Right.
You know what I mean? They started turning up. They started adding key players. I mean, they became a good team. Before that, they weren't really...
They stunk. You
know? Yeah, they weren't really good. So it's like...
That's By the way...
Team. That's like getting drafted to a winning team.
Right. But that's a possible scenario for you guys next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think that was a good example of like... They hit on the Herb Jones pick.
Mm-hmm.
CJ, they get... Larry Nance is in the trade too. Now you get three guys and you think like, wait, Zion's not going to play the whole year and they're going to be competing for a playoff spot. But it was these other moves they made around the fringes. And that's, you know, what this stuff comes down to. If you can have the two foundation guys or the three, whatever, but you start hitting those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth guys, all of a sudden you're good. Yeah. Like New Orleans was toe-to-toe with Phoenix in that round one.
Bad.
Alvarado, that was another one.
Yeah, he was a... Hey. He's a dog. I like his game. Came out and he just plays hard. He's like in a good way. He's like an annoying, like on the court, you know, guys yeah. like that, like annoying, like he's always just there, like around you. Like, I think that's super lit. He's super good.
But yeah, I'm glad
we got to get on and talk about that.
Yeah. Look, it was stupid, but I know we have some mutual people and everybody's like, Jalen's the best. This guy, he should just come on because you guys should just chop it up and talk hoops. So
yeah.
I'm glad we did that. I'm rooting for you. I think 23-5-5 is attainable. If you're going to tell me 25-5-5 is in play, I'm intrigued. But it seems
why not aim high? Let's aim high.
What? By the way, I forgot to ask you, what would you do with the slam dunk contest?
Would I do it again?
No, what would you do? Is there a way to fix it? Is it run its course? What do you do?
I think it's just running. I mean, I messed up the last. I shouldn't have started off so trying to come out crazy. I shouldn't have started off so crazy.
Pressure is to come up with some dunk nobody's seen before, but we've had 40 years of dunks at this point. There's no more dunks left. What are people going to do?
Everyone's going to try the new. So I'll try to just come out with something no one's seen before. Outside of backboard, between the legs. And the crazy thing, right before... I was upstairs practicing, and I got it right before we went onto the court.
Yeah.
But then, like, after I missed the first, like, 2-3, my legs started shaking. Everyone on the sidelines, come on, you got it, bro. I'm like, ah.
Well, you can feel that energy. I've been in those things when it's not going well, and the energy just gets super weird. You can feel it's it.
Like, ah, man. But, yeah.
I think... I've been saying this for 20 years and they tried it, but I don't feel like they did it correctly. I still think horse is better.
Horse?
I would love to watch horse or pig. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. Because you could add both. You could shoot and dunk. Trick shots. Yeah.
And it should be people who have like a similar, like if it's you versus Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And you're playing a horse and dunks are on the table, outside shots, props, anything.
Yeah.
I guarantee that's going to be more fun than a slam dunk contest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be pretty exciting. It just depends. Like, what are the rules to it? Like, how? Like,
just get to horse.
I think it should be shorter though, because you know you're trying a whole bunch of new trick shots and stuff. Like,
so pig,
like pig, yeah, pig.
You think you would take him?
And man,
yeah. You versus him and Pig with 20,000 right people now. In the arena?
I'll tell him right now. Let's get Pig going.
So what's your move? 28 footer to start?
Yeah.
Or you get a dunk to start? Try to put some pressure on him early?
I'm going to wait on the dunk. I'm going to say the dunk for the last one. But no, I'm going to come with a trick shot first. Just a little warm up.
I just don't know who's not watching that.
Yeah, it would be exciting. That would be lit.
Because I think the key is... It's got to be people who are in the same like relative level of like athletic ability skill, right? It can't be like, I mean, I guess you could do it, you versus Steph Curry, but if it's you versus Steph Curry, you could try to do all these dunks that he probably can't do at this point in his life. He's 33.
He's just going to shoot from behind the logo.
Right. But yeah. If it's Steph Curry versus, I don't know, Tyler Hero, that's going to be like all 30, 35 footers, yeah. And that's more fun. So I would almost group them like weight classes, like in boxing. Yeah. You know, it's like welterweight, junior middleweight, heavyweight. Like it would be the same thing where it's like athletic two guards. It's you and Edwards and two more. And then we get like the shooters. They're in this group. And then like tall guys like Evan Mobley and those kind of guys. They're in their own thing.
That would be cool. You might got to put the word in for that.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see if it works. Yeah. All right, Jalen Green. Take care of yourself. Good luck in the draft. I hope the Rockets listen to you. I'm rooting for you. Thanks appreciate for coming
it.
On.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Kyle Creighton, as always, for producing. Thanks to Steve Cerruti and Dylan Berkey as well. I'm not sure of the schedule the rest of the week, but we will have at least one more BS podcast. Don't forget Rewatchables. Tuesday night, big movie. Stay tuned for that. See you then. Wanna see them, wanna waste some-